Hello, everyone, and welcome to Let's Talk Parks. My name is Becky Dunlap.
And this is Marissa Moravic, and we're your hosts for this weekly podcast.
An evolving resource to help parks and recreation professionals raise the bar in their organizations so that they can make a positive difference in their communities. Hello, you guys, and welcome back to Let's Talk Parks. This is Becky Dunlap on the mic, and just wanted to say good morning, wherever you are and whenever you're listening. Marissa and I were joking the other day because we've been trying to record these episodes in the evening because that's when, you know, after we put down our kids and it's like a moment of stillness and it's like, okay, we can do this. We can record episodes in the evening. But turns out we realized that our brain is complete mush at night and it's hard to form sentences. So I thought, you know what, for this introduction, I'm going to wake up really early before my child actually wakes up and record an introduction and I'll feel bright and fresh and I'll have my morning coffee. So I'm trying to do all those things, although I have to admit, I don't think my brain is actually functioning any better at all. That's okay. That's just the life of, you know, being a toddler mom and navigating all these things. So anyways, thanks for tuning in today. Today's episode is actually one that aired back on Open Space Radio a couple of weeks ago, and it was a collaborative episode with myself, Court Jones, and Paul Gilbert from Strategic Leadership, who they each obviously have a podcast. And so we just got on the mic talking about how these podcasts and different mediums have changed over time and kind of what we expect is coming up next. And I always find it so interesting when we think about content for Parks and Recreation, because especially for our three shows, although we have a similar audience, they're actually very different. And we come at the show from different perspectives and kind of with a different goal in mind. So you'll hear on the show kind of our take on that and what that looks like individually, but it is different. Like even if technically it's a podcast for parks and recreation professionals, the way that we do it and our approach is all very, very different. And even, I mean, personally looking back, what Let's Talk Parks is very different than like how it started, and yet like it's still the same. So for instance, I'm not sure if you noticed, but the intro music is the same as it was in season one. So it's never really been super consistent in that way, but we just decided that this season we would have one introduction and one set of music, just to add some consistency there. And I went back and found some old music that we used to use and kind of remixed it. So it's fun to see how things evolve and yet stay the same in the same way. And I think a lot of times, like, our original intention, our original like energy that goes out there when you start to create something out of nothing, that's where the most inspiration is. And so kind of tapping into that and remembering why I started this and why I continue to do this has just been really motivational for me recently, because I realize that over time, your passion, if it's true, if it's real, it will last. You know, like a lot of people start things and they don't finish them, or they start things and it just doesn't feel right. So they don't continue. And I've done the same thing. But if there's something that you really care about, like deep down inside, even if you don't feel like it's getting the results that you wanted, or you feel like it's not, you know, adding up to like everything that you thought it would be, you do it anyways, because like your purpose behind doing it is so much deeper than those kind of artificial results that you dreamed up, right? So in my case, like there are some goals and some things that like I may not have reached yet, but there's a lot of things that I have reached, and there's a lot of things that I have done that I'm proud of. And so I always have to keep those things in mind, like what have I done, and rather than thinking like of all the things that should have been done by now, all the things that, you know, in my own brain, like I think, oh, I should have already gotten there by now, or, you know, judging myself against some standard that like doesn't exist, right? So I think like I've been very grateful to have this podcast as some sort of like consistent way of putting myself out there on a weekly basis, because it allows me to find the courage consistently to do so. And what I keep remembering is that it takes guts to put yourself out there. And I'm not really talking about the podcast, but whatever you're trying to do, whether it's, you know, speaking at a conference, or, you know, raising your hand in a conference room, or, you know, interviewing for that next position that you are excited about, you know, whatever it is, like you get to decide the meaning of all of those things. So what I've learned is that like if you use fear as your compass, you are going to have less regrets, and you are going to feel better about your life. Like it's amazing the ways that I tend to like self-sabotage myself, or like to second guess myself. Even if I've done great things, like there's always that next level, and I convince myself that, you know, it's not enough, but it is enough. It is enough. Everything you're doing is enough, but you have to continue to challenge yourself and put yourself out there in new ways. And so, you know, even if it feels scary, you should probably do that thing anyway. So that is your little dose of motivation. I hope that you do find something that you can, you know, step out of your comfort zone in, because that's where the greatest learning and growth comes from. All right, with that morning rant over, let's jump into the show today. Court actually starts it off by introducing our three podcasts, and then we jump into the show and talk about what we do and kind of what's next for the field, in our opinion, and how these different mediums of sharing information are changing. So hope you enjoy this episode, and until next time, let's talk parks.
I'm here today with Becky Dunlap, the engagement manager for Green Play LLC, who you may recognize as a host of the Let's Talk Parks podcast, another wonderful podcast about parks and recreation, as well as Paul Gilbert, the executive director of Nova Parks, which is right here in my backyard, an agency whose spaces have played a huge role in my life. Paul also hosts a podcast called Strategic Leadership, which is focused on strategic thinking and leadership skills. I'm excited to be a part of this collaborative conversation today about podcasting and the rise of more digital content. I think it'll be great if we started it off by introducing ourselves and just giving a brief overview of each one of our shows for those who may not be familiar with one or all of them.
Perfect. Well, I'll go first. So like Court said, my name is Becky Dunlap, and I host the Let's Talk Parks podcast with my friend Marissa Moravec. And we really are all about helping young professionals, emerging professionals, purpose-driven professionals who are really excited and ambitious about raising the bar in the field of parks and recreation. So they're the ones that are always raising their hands and asking questions and digging a little deeper and just kind of questioning the status quo, questioning why things are the way they are. And sometimes that can be tough in local government. So we really strive to give them not only the education to move ideas forward, but also that inspiration and the motivation to keep going. So I started the podcast back in 2017 under Becky Talks Parks. And Court, I remember actually doing an interview at NRPA, which was super fun a couple years ago now, but it's grown a lot since then. And really excited to continue moving every Thursday. And we release a podcast episode. And yeah, it's just really a passion of mine.
That's great. So I'm relatively new to the podcasting world. My podcast has only been out for about 6 months now, and it's called Strategic Leadership with Paul Gilbert. It is also in the park and recreation area, but it's really kind of focused on leadership. It says it right in the title. I think most of my listeners are folks in more senior management positions within park and rec agencies. While most of the content is focused on park and rec, I do sample around other things that I'm interested in. I have academics, I have business leaders, I have political leaders, because I think the fundamentals of organizations and leadership and how you make an organization really sing are kind of universal. So while the target is park and rec leaders, it's broad. I always open every episode with, before I even get into the content, saying, let me answer the why question. And the why question to me is always, if your organization is about a really important mission, if you are changing the world and making things better, you can't leave it to chance. It's important to think about leadership and strategy and how you go about doing what you're doing so that you can bring that fantastic mission to the world in the most effective way. So my soapbox that I say at the beginning of every episode, which also kind of explains why we have this podcast.
I love what both of you are doing with your platforms. And I will jump in. My name is Court Jones. I'm the manager of strategic communications for NRPA. And one of the things that I get to do in my role is produce and host Open Space Radio. It's probably the thing that I'm the most passionate about in my job. I just am very fortunate to be able to have conversations with people that are doing such great work in their community. The show's been on the air for about 4 years this August, and that's in large part due to my previous colleague, Roxanne Sutton, who created it in 2017, and she brought me on soon after. And Becky, I think one of the first interviews that I did was actually with you for the podcast at the conference, so that was really fun. We're a bi-weekly podcast, as well as a monthly episode to coincide with each issue of Parks and Recreation magazine, and we really just aim to share news and stories from the field, as well as lift up voices that have historically been not a part of the conversations about parks and recreation and the outdoors. Yeah, I consider myself very fortunate to be able to have as many inspirational conversations as I get to have. It's a great learning experience for me. I learn so much, and I just really enjoy producing it as part of all the other great content that NRPA puts out for parks and recreation. So I know, with the three of us having this conversation, we obviously have an affinity for podcasts regarding parks and recreation, but what do the two of you think that park and rec professionals can gain from listening to a podcast about our field?
We're very lucky. You were just talking about how exciting and inspirational it is to be on our side, where we're asking questions and getting to learn from professionals who are just doing amazing work and whose stories sometimes aren't ever heard. And it's so that in itself is inspiring from our end. We hope that our listeners can also take some inspiration, take that as their daily motivation to keep going. Because a lot of times we see, especially students, young professionals, emerging professionals who are just getting into it, and they are wrapping their head around local government and how all these things work and how do you get things done and how do you gain influence in your agency and how do you level up and get to where Paul's podcast is talking about strategic leadership. Like, how do you get into those roles and how do you succeed in that? And I think oftentimes that journey can be very lonely and it can feel very isolating if you don't have somebody nearby. And so I think that podcast kind of serves as a lifeline for you to kind of tune in and to really like listen to somebody from a national perspective, but also just a different perspective from somebody outside of your bubble, outside of your agency, someone you don't see every day. And so I think that in and of itself is something that I've heard constantly, is it's just, is a lifeline. It keeps people going. It just gives you a new perspective and it really reduces the isolation and loneliness. But Paul, I'm curious what you think from your perspective and your audience. What do you think professionals really have to learn from podcasts?
I mean, I think if you are serious about your profession, that you are always learning and growing and are a lifetime learner. So podcasts are one of the newer avenues where you can just grow and learn in amazing ways. And while mine is focused on strategy and leadership, just because you have a title that might imply that you understand those things doesn't necessarily mean that you do or that you know how to go about the various challenges that are out there. Because we all know that parks and recreation are being asked to do more and more things in our society. And in that era of change that we are in, you have to have dialogue. You have to have learning. You cannot do things the way you did them last year, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. You have to be growing constantly. So I think one of the great things with all of these options out there in terms of new digital content is as a professional, you can really dive into whatever your challenge is, find that content that is going to help you understand what is going on in other places that you could apply. Because park and recreation field is so diverse that someone somewhere is doing amazing work that you could replicate or build off of or be inspired by. So I think that's what we're kind of all about.
And Paul, when you're talking about that, I can't help but think of so many times, and not just in parks and recreation, but just life, society in general, there's always that we've tried that, we've done that. Becky, I think you all have done an episode specifically about that. Like, we've done this before and how to navigate around that. We've done this before response to things. And so I think having stories and hearing people share solutions to problems in their communities, it helps other people see a different perspective and think, oh, someone else is solving a challenge that we're facing in a different way, and maybe we can do it that way. And so I think it's just really important hearing those different perspectives. And Becky, talking about that connection, I know when I'm listening to my favorite podcast, it's like a friend almost that you're hearing from, especially just like the hosts and things like that. You almost develop a relationship with those people in your headphones. And so I think it's, especially over this past year, having that consistent connection has really been important. And I think a lot of people have used podcasts in that space.
Mm-hmm. And that's what we were talking about earlier. And the word that I had used was intimate, which may in some levels feel inappropriate or maybe not the right word. But when you think about it, like, it is intimate. Like, you decide to put in your earphones and listen to these people that you build relationships with that, honestly, I don't know, right? But I have people message me on LinkedIn or, like, you know, go back and forth in emails and they're like, oh, you're a celebrity here. I'm like, I am not a celebrity, actually. That's like the craziest thing I've ever heard. And it's just because I'm a person who's had experiences that I feel are worth sharing. My opinion is worth sharing, but so is yours. And I feel like it's just my calling or purpose in some way to lift up others, to share their stories, to make this field, which I think is so impactful and is so world changing, a little bit brighter and a little bit more fun to be in. So I think the potential for all of our podcasts and whichever podcast comes next to really help our field become the best version of itself. But Cort, I kind of throw this back to you because we were also talking about all of the different materials that used to be, especially only coming from NRPA, right? Like, you guys had the conference, which is still the major thing in our field, and then a magazine and these forums, and now things are evolving. So I'd love to hear your perspective on how podcasts are different from that and how maybe you've seen things evolve.
First of all, I love when you talk about podcasts being intimate. It's so true, because when you think about reading an article or watching a video or even participating in a webinar, it's not as personal. When you're listening to a podcast, it's like that person is speaking directly to you and you're hearing their experience directly from them. And I don't think there's anything more powerful than that. And especially for NRPA, we do produce a lot of content, but I truly don't think anything is as accessible as the podcast. I think about my own listening habits. I listen to podcasts when I'm driving, when I'm out mowing the lawn, when I'm doing chores around the house. I can't watch a video or participate in a webinar or read the magazine while I'm doing any of those things. And it's just been a really great tool for NRPA to showcase the essential nature of parks and recreation, especially in a time when the folks that are holding the checkbooks are looking at places in their budgets that they can cut. And Parks and Rec, we all know, are traditionally the first ones on the chopping block, or if not the first ones, pretty close to the first ones. And thinking about how much Park and Rec professionals have done over the pandemic, especially, it's just been a really great way for us at NRPA to be like, hey, do you see what the people in this industry are doing? It's not just sports and parks and pools. There's life-saving, life-changing work going on. And I think the budgets and the support from those in decision-making power should reflect that. It's really rewarding when we get feedback from people who listen to the podcast and even guests. I mean, we recently heard from a guest that an episode they were on helped them secure some grant funding for their agency that's helping them develop ways to fight climate change on a local level. If people are able to use the podcast for things like that, that means the world to me. And it's helping make real change in communities. And that's, I can't even talk about how beautiful that is for me personally.
Court, I think you're right that part of the reason these podcasts are important is the world is changing. And Parks and Rec is more important than it has ever been. And I've been in the field quite a long time. We're seeing trail use go up 3, 4, 5 times what it was pre-pandemic. Every possible outdoor recreation thing is exploding. Our pools are open this summer and they are packed. We're hitting capacities that are normally weekend capacities on weekdays. And so many people used parks as a way of both physical, mental, emotional relief during the worst days of the pandemic. And we secured a new place in American society as a result of what was going on. And the podcast gave us a way to talk about that as a community, as a group of folks around the country that are working on similar issues. I'm a bit older than you two. And so I have a little more memory. A long time ago, I started a blog because blog was the cool new thing at one time. And it sort of shows the evolution of content. That at first it was books and magazines and websites and then blogs, and then things can sort of continue to evolve. I have a YouTube channel that goes with my podcast. It's sort of a shorter version. I think that will continue, that we'll continue to find new avenues to communicate and share stories and grow through them through digital content. But podcast is one of my favorite ones. I had to explain what a podcast was to someone who had never experienced it. And I said, well, it's like your own radio station. Of course, yours is actually called radio. They're very much like your own radio station. You're not on the dial. You can't tune in on your car's radio, but it's the democratization of content. Everyone can pick an issue and communicate about it in a meaningful way. That's just great. It opens it up to more voices.
The other thing, too, is that it's easily shareable, Paul. You know, you're talking about magazines, and it's like magazines are great. And if you see an article, you can pass it to your colleague and they can read about it. And great, it was shared. Now someone can share a link to the podcast with their entire agency or their entire network of people. And all of a sudden, you have hundreds and thousands of people who have tuned in to this one particular topic. And so I think it is really powerful that those messages can be shared in that way.
And the messages that are appealing get heard and shared more.
So it is interesting because we're talking about this journey of kind of how podcasts have evolved and how information is being shared and changing. But all of our podcasts are also very different too. And we have different kinds of listeners and different demographics that resonate with our content. And so I guess I'll just start because I want to talk about how are our podcasts similar or different. And from our perspective, Let's Talk Parks is very much for the ambitious younger, like 25 to 34 year old professionals. They're probably on their way to a management role if they're not there already. We've got students, we've got those who are making a transition and are trying to figure out, what is this field all about? What is this going to look like for me on a daily basis? So they're involved in managing facilities. They're involved in creating programs and special events, and they're trying to build a career and figure out what feels right to me. And what we're finding is that, similar to what you were saying earlier, Paul, is it's not always about reaching that level, but it's about finding the lifestyle that they want and figuring out what kind of goals or career aspirations kind of match with that. So what difference does it make if you get to the very top of your career or your agency, but then you have no time to spend with your family, which is maybe a value of yours? And I think our millennials and Generation Z that are listening to our podcast, they relate to that. They're not trying to climb the ladder at the expense of everything else in their lives. So they're trying to balance all these different things, knowing that our field does make an impact. But at the same time, mental health has become more and more important. I think everyone right now is at a point of exhaustion and burnout. And so it's just kind of figuring out, how do I balance all these things? How do I do my job and not lose my sanity? And so that's what our perspective is, at least right now. And it's evolved. It's changed. My perspective has changed on things too. And I think that's the beauty of these types of things. They kind of follow our own personal journey as well. Court, from kind of a national NRPA perspective, or even from your own, who is your audience? Who is tuning in every other week to the Open Space Radio?
Since we are NRPA's official podcast, our primary audience is NRPA members. And I don't know if we have an age range specific audience. I think, you know, our audience is young professionals and those who have been in the field a while, those that are at the director level or beyond. It's primarily NRPA members and just park and recreation professionals. And we're finding lately, we're getting an audience with the quote unquote general public, because they're finding value in the stories that we're sharing. I think about our most recent episode was about LGBTQ plus inclusion in parks and recreation. And we've received feedback from folks in other industries that they are using this to look at conversations around inclusion in schools and other things like that. And so primarily our focus is really on storytelling, and with NRPA's strategic goals of having equity at the center, that's really part of the podcast as well. I mentioned before about lifting up voices that aren't traditionally heard when it comes to parks and recreation. That's really been a goal for Open Space Radio, is really lifting up those voices and finding out how people are including members of their community that have historically been excluded from spaces and programs. And that's been a really eye-opening experience for me, because I didn't come from parks and recreation when I started with NRPA. So seeing the history of how people were excluded in certain spaces and the work that's being done to bring those people in and make them feel welcome and safe and included has just been really important for my life and my own journey that I'm on, especially after things like the killing of George Floyd last summer. I think that really opened up a lot for people and thinking about where their values were and where they aligned with things. And that translated directly into the podcast. And I'm a journalist at heart. That's what my background is in. So I love storytelling. And that's just been my goal with the podcast. And the thing that I love about podcasts, and we've talked about this, we all have our specific ways of reaching our audiences and specific focus areas. But at the same time, like, none of us are competing, because we're all bringing value in a different way that different people need in different stages of their careers. And all three of our podcasts have this common goal, and that's really to elevate the good work that's going on in parks and recreation and prepare people for the future and help them in their work. I love seeing our different approaches to that common goal. And so, Paul, I would really love to hear your perspective from a leadership point of view.
Sure. I mean, I think one of the really cool things about podcasts is because they're very grounded in the here and now. We're creating them and putting them out within a short period of time. Maybe it's a few week gap. It's not way out. So we can talk about issues of today. And I'm thinking about how many interviews I've had recently where we have been talking about equity, inclusion, belonging, diversity, and we've woven that right into the conversation which in my mind is exactly what we should be doing. So in this moment, every organization in the world is focused on where are we in terms of diversity and where should we be? And there's a lot of standalone efforts that are happening. We have a big effort in our agency. Everyone has a big effort. I think the ultimate goal is to have those conversations as part of the norm, that we're creating a new normal, that that is just part of our dialogue about leadership and organizations and organizational culture and all the rest of that. And we should have equity and diversity, inclusion, belonging just woven in to all the other conversations that we're having. And we can do that in podcasts because we are recording them in the near term and they are very contemporary to the issues that are going on. And as other issues come up, we can address those head on too. It's very different from picking up a book, which I've written two books, and it's such a lead time to write it and then get it published and get it out and get it in people's hands. And often the content is several years old by the time you're talking about it. And I teach classes and there too, you know, you create your syllabus and everything else quite a bit in advance of the course. You can add in new stuff, but a podcast is in the here and now, which makes it really interesting and relevant. And I think we also, as podcasters, can grow and evolve our channels to fit the needs of the field, of our listeners. When I started this, it wasn't that long ago, 6 months or so ago, I had just finished teaching a class at George Mason. And I thought, well, I have all this content. I could just go on and start presenting basically like a third of a class or half of a class. And I made a list of all the stuff, and I've done some of this. But what I found, you know, in the evolution of it, is that I'd much rather be in a conversation with someone. And there's so many cool people out there to talk to that are doing amazing things that I could talk about a subject, but it's so much better to get a dialogue going with knowledgeable people that are doing cutting edge things in our field. So that's the fun part.
And Paul, your audience is very much more in the leadership roles right now, right? Kind of executive director. Is that where a lot of your listeners come from?
I think so. Yeah. Those are the people I tend to interview. They're my friends and colleagues that I chat with and email with and text with on a regular basis. So it's very similar. I probably present content that is relevant to me and relevant to those that are doing similar things. And you're presenting content that's relevant to you and those that are in your space. And that's fantastic. That means that we can reach out and have relevant, good content for everyone. And I would encourage everyone listening to this to try out all three of these podcasts and listen to five others, because there's so much great content out there. And you don't know until you tune into one or two of them, a couple of episodes, and kind of get the flavor. Like you were saying, it's an intimate thing where they're part of the conversation. I feel like I am sitting at an NRPA conference, having a cup of coffee with an old friend that I haven't seen in a year, catching up on the cool things that they're doing, sharing some stuff that we're doing. It feels like that every time I'm having a conversation on a podcast.
I think that's the beautiful thing. And all of us have different audiences, different messages, different platforms that we go out on. And it is a beautiful thing that we've kind of found that and expanded our network so much, right? And I'm curious about kind of the next phase of podcasting, or fill in the blank. Who knows what that thing is? Is it video? Is it short form video? Is it Instagram Reels? Is it Clubhouse? Is it Spotify? All of these different platforms are creating technology all the time. And I think it's really interesting to think about the future of it. Paul, where do you see it going?
Well, you know, it's kind of funny because if you think about what a podcast is fundamentally, it's like your own individual radio station. That's really, really old technology. Radio has been around for 100 years, but it works. As you're pointing out, Becky, there's all of these new platforms, all these new technologies. I don't know that we can even forecast what the hot platform will be in a couple of years. TikTok's being used in profoundly different ways than it was a year ago. So all of the platforms are evolving. I was just reading an article where Spotify was putting a lot of money into podcasting because they want to, right now, Apple is the number one platform and Spotify wants to be number one. So they are investing heavily in it. That's probably good. I'd love for there to be a war between Apple and Spotify to see how we grow the podcasting space. So who knows? Technology will inevitably change. I think our job as content providers is to stay abreast of those things and keep the content real. It's less about the platform and more about the message.
I was hoping we were going to get through this conversation and no one was going to mention TikTok so that I didn't have to say I'm not on TikTok. I've not created anything on TikTok yet. And it scares me for some reason, but I know it's the future and everyone says it's the future. But yeah, digital content, it can get very overwhelming because it feels like there's a new platform so often. And I think with podcasts, I mean, really anyone can be a creator. And anyone can share stories. Anyone can share their own story. And I think that's really cool. And another really cool thing that I've seen is that I've noticed some park and rec agencies starting their own podcasts directed to their community. And I think that's really exciting because I know when we started Open Space Radio, there was Becky Talks Parks. And I don't know if there were really any other podcasts directed at local parks and recreation. And to see just a few years later that there are agencies creating their own is really, really nice to see. And Becky, I know you've started with Instagram Reels. I have not dived into Instagram Reels yet, but I think that probably needs to be the next move, especially with promoting things like the podcast and how Instagram is really moving towards a more video-first algorithm. So I think things like Reels are going to be really important in promotion. And this new social audio revolution is just something that I think is really, really cool. And when Clubhouse came out a while back, I got on Clubhouse, I guess in February, in the middle of the pandemic. And for those who don't know what Clubhouse is, it's basically like a live podcast. It's drop-in audio. There's rooms. People can go in there and just have conversations about topics. And I was on there way too many hours of the day, just, you know, getting inspiration, learning from people. And it's really similar to the podcast platform where people are just craving that connection. And especially when people are so bound to their homes, everyone just wanted some sort of source of connection. And social audio, I think, really provided that. And I know it's kind of blowing up beyond Clubhouse now with Spotify has their own platform, Twitter is doing it. Mark Cuban started a platform called Fireside, which is supposed to be the future of podcasting. I'm excited to see how those are going to grow and how we can use those platforms to just continue to amplify the messages that we're trying to spread through our podcasts and use these other platforms to just promote and grow our shows as well.
Not to get too geeky, but part of what will happen is algorithms and whatever platform will help people find content that they like. We can already see that on some platforms where you engage in certain content and then it throws up other content of similar nature. And that can be fantastic because it can help you as an individual find what you're actually interested in. There's a downside, which is that sometimes it can become tunnel vision. And that's a challenge to really good algorithms that feed you what you want, is maybe there's other stuff over on the side here that you should be paying attention to that's not quite in line with what choices you're picking. That'll evolve.
It will evolve. And I think that's the beauty of having this conversation, of being able to share each other's podcasts and resources that are out there that maybe people haven't heard of yet. And I think if you are really involved, you know, whether on a state or national level, like that's your bubble, right? So you see that information all the time. You're fed that information through your social media feeds and your listservs. But there really is so much out there, you know, whether it is through Facebook groups or through Clubhouse or through whatever accounts you follow, there's always an opportunity to learn. But you also have to do that within your own discretion, right? And so from our perspective, I know I'm always looking at, you know, what's worth my time and how I can't be everywhere. how are we going to continue to get the message out consistently and at a level of quality or thoughtfulness that relates to our audience, and at the same time, have fun, be innovative, and try out new things?
A fun question that we might all think about answering is to sort of throw out one interview that we might have had recently that we really learned some cool little nugget that we didn't know before. Because one of the great things with the three of us is we get to listen to all these great conversations and engage in them. And I know I'm always learning amazing things from these brilliant people that are in our field.
Great. Paul, you go first.
I'll throw one out there. So I did an interview with Marticia Brown. We were talking about diversity. She kept throwing in belonging. And I'm like, I have not heard that being used. And she expanded on it, and it was beautiful. I really love the idea that what we're really trying to get at with diversity, inclusion, all that is belonging, that people should feel that a park is for them. I'll just throw that one out. One word, throwing it in there, just kind of changed the whole dynamic. Great.
Paul, I love and hate this question equally because there's so many to choose from.
Yeah.
But the one that I always go back to is when we interviewed last year's NRPA annual conference keynote speaker, Glenn Harris, who is the president of Race Forward. And I have it on a sticky note on my computer. He talked about being hard on systems, but soft on people when talking about equity and inclusion. And that is just something that continues to just replay in my head, that we want people to come along on this conversation about equity and inclusion, but a lot of times we're hard on the people and not hard on the systems that are perpetuating these inequities. And so, yeah, hard on systems, soft on people. It's in big quotations on a sticky note on my computer. And yeah, it's always been a conversation that I was really, really proud to be a part of. And I learned more than I thought that I was going to, which is probably true for every interview that I'm able to have. But yeah, that one sticks out the most a lot.
Nice. Well, over the last couple of weeks throughout the summer, we've been doing more solo episodes. And so it's just sometimes it's me, sometimes it's Marissa, just kind of getting on the mic and talking about whatever is relevant to that day. But I'll talk about two recent topics that we had actually interviews with. So this past week was really impactful for me because I talked to one of my longtime mentors about kind of how to gain influence and not necessarily power or position, but how do you gain influence just as you are in the role that you are in today, wherever you go? And it really changed my perspective because I learned that it's more about listening and understanding and coming from the other person's point of view than it is for me just to get my point across and say it in the right way and say it persuasively. And so that really changed my perspective. And then this next week, I just listened to it this morning, but Marissa did an episode about seasonal employees and how the next generation is having, it seems random, you guys, but the next generation is having their parents apply for them for these jobs. And kind of how as leaders or hiring managers, we think that's crazy. That means that they're not independent enough to apply for their own jobs. But this episode really gives a different perspective around how we can support this next generation of workers to make them feel and have belonging in our agencies, like you guys are talking about, and to support them because they may not have those skills, and where better to learn them than in our Parks and Recreation agency. And so our episodes kind of sometimes feel all over the map because we're talking about seasonal employees, we're talking about supporting and training, we touch on leadership, but it's really just about how can we do our job to the best of our ability and still kind of show up as our best whole version of ourselves. So, but great question, Paul.
Becky, I heard that podcast on influence and it was great. And I love your thing about seasonal employees because we talk about all the things we do in the world in park and recreation. Sometimes we don't actually give ourselves credit for the fact that we're the first employment opportunity for thousands and thousands of young people. And everyone needs a first job. And to learn all the lessons of that first job and those experiences will then lead some of those people to want to seek a career in the field. So that's always a challenge, is how do we take that great summer job and turn it into, I'd like to do that full time.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, if there's nothing else, you guys, I think this has been an awesome conversation, and kudos to Paul for starting this and engaging both myself and Court for bringing up the conversation and continuing to learn and grow our own podcasts in the process. So I had a lot of fun today, you guys.
I enjoy both of your podcasts. I encourage everyone to listen to all of them and others, because it's just such, we're in an interesting time where digital technology, digital content is just exploding. This is one of the great areas of it.
Yeah, thank you both. I truly do enjoy both of your shows as well. I know, Becky, I'm not technically a young professional anymore, but I still do enjoy it. And Paul, I'm technically not in a leadership role, but I really enjoy your show as well. And so maybe to end this, maybe we can all plug where people can find our shows if they'd like to listen.
All of our shows are on all the normal podcast platforms. Whether you like to go to Apple or Spotify or Google, whatever, that's the great thing about podcasts, is they're pretty easy to find.
Yeah. And over on Let's Talk Parks, we have an episode out every Thursday, and we have a very active Instagram account these days. We're going hard into Instagram, so go check us out. We try to be everywhere in terms of platforms, but we appreciate you guys tuning in and giving it a listen.
Well, thank you both. And you can find Open Space Radio at openspaceradio.org or your favorite podcast platform, as well as on Instagram at Open Space Radio. We're not as active as the Let's Talk Parks crew, but we're working on it. We're trying to get there. All right. Well, thank you both.
Hey, this has been great. Thanks so much.